We are reading God's Word now from Romans chapter 8 for our message this morning. We have been in Romans 8 for quite a while, and we're not in any hurry to leave this one of the greatest chapters in all of the Holy Scriptures. Romans chapter 8, we will read this one last time, the verses beginning with number 18, Romans 8 and verse 18. The apostle is encouraging the people in Rome because one of the great difficulties that Christians have always met with is the having a lack of assurance of salvation. And the apostle is giving reason after reason for the people of God to have assurance, full assurance of faith in Christ as Savior and Lord. So he comes now to the matter of suffering. Suffering as a believer is an evidence that we are indeed a true believer. Verse 18, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature," or the creation, "was made subject to vanity, not willingly," it wasn't the choice of creation, "but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope." God doesn't hope about anything, but he gives man hope. Verse 21, "Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption," to wit, or that is, "the redemption of our body." Amen. We conclude our reading there, a short reading, with verse 23. But we trust that the Holy Spirit himself will take this word which he breathed through the apostle of old, that he would make it living and meaningful in our hearts and lives today, that it would produce good fruit, even to life eternal. Our Lord Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 36 and 37, of the coming of the Son of Man, no man knows the day nor the hour. This passage in Romans 8 is speaking of that wonderful glory that's going to be revealed in believers. And then in verse 23, the redemption of our bodies. We live in dissolving temples of clay. We don't know the day or the hour when our Savior will come. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 7, Jesus told his disciples, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons." But you know, since that time, many of the visible church have foolishly set dates for Christ's coming. You can be sure, based on the words of Jesus, if somebody sets a date, that they are guilty of being a false prophet. Because Jesus said that no man knows the day or the hour. And then he said, it's not even for you to know the times or the seasons. A great success of the Jesuits' Counter-Reformation has been the proliferation of false teaching about Christ's second coming. The any moment rapture teaching, which began in 1830, has greatly damaged the testimony of God's people in the eyes of the watching world. One of the worst results of the false rapture teaching has been to dull the church in regard to Christ's second coming. Because of the popular false teaching about Christ's second coming, few Christians seem to know what our larger catechism teaches us in the question and answer 191, that we are to pray for the destruction of Satan's kingdom, number one. We are to pray, secondly, for the gospel to have success, its propagation among all nations. We are to pray for the Jews to be saved and Christ's second coming to be hastened. This is in our substandards. Well, I say that because of the false teaching, there has been a dulling of the sense of God's people, even in regard to Christ's second coming, because we are to be praying for it. Our text in Romans 8 is dealing with this very matter of the glory that is yet to be revealed and when that glory is going to be revealed. Although true Christians are saved and we are to suffer in this world, thank God a better world is coming. Just mark that down. A better world is coming. Look there at verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us, even in our mortal bodies. Well, what will that world be like? It will be a world of glory. Verse 18 and verse 23 tell us that it will be the very redemption of the body. These bodies of ours, Christ our Redeemer, by His death and by His resurrection, has won for His believing people the redemption of the body. And I'm looking forward to that because it seems like it's harder for me to get out of bed every morning I live. Christ our Redeemer, by His death and His resurrection, has won for His people the redemption of the body, the transformation of our bodies will be so marvelous. We will be completely healthy, disease-free, and best of all, sin-free in our redeemed bodies. Peter calls it this glory that's coming, the new heaven and the new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. 2 Peter 3:13. John, the beloved, describes it in Revelation chapter 21, as the new heaven and the new earth and the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, coming down to the earth. Have you ever noticed how little children can't wait to get outside? Any of y'all have any children like that, or maybe a grandchildren or your children now? We want to be outside, no matter if the weather's steaming hot or freezing cold, especially if it's snowing. We got to get outside. Well, it's very normal and natural because when God made man, where did He put him? In a building somewhere? No, He put him in a garden. He put him in a garden, so it's very natural for us to want to be outside. If you love being outside on a cool morning when the air is refreshing, if you love seeing nature as it is now, we'll realize what the apostle is saying here. It's not worthy now to be compared with what it's going to be. Jesus said, the meek shall inherit the earth. And you know, our Lord Jesus Christ, King David's greatest son, did not give a new teaching about this. It was the same as the Old Testament teaching in Psalm 37:11. There, the Lord Jesus Christ, fleshly ancestor David, said, the meek shall inherit the earth. and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. That's wonderful. This earth and the very atmosphere surrounding this earth is going to be renovated with fire. Everything that we can see is going to be changed, Peter says in 2 Peter 3:10 and 11. But you know, it's only those who are in Christ who will enjoy the blessings of the new perfect world, perfect bodies that will live forever on an absolutely marvelous planet. Don't think for a moment that we will be somewhere out there in the heavens appearing in some kind of ghostly looking, as a ghostly looking disembodied spirit. That's the way it is right now. It's the intermediate state of those who have gone before us, who are waiting for what? The redemption of the body. Their bodies will be resurrected and they will be just as glorious, sin-free, disease-free, bodies that will last forever. All of our loved ones who have gone before us are right now called the spirits of the justified. They are perfected spirits, but they're waiting for their bodies to be resurrected to make them totally complete. Hebrews 12 and verse 23. So what's this wonderful world of glory going to be like? It's beyond our imagination, but the Lord tells us a lot about it in His Word. The apostle is teaching us that now, while we're here, we must not be surprised by suffering. Verse 18, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed." As a believer, you will be persecuted. You will be mocked. You'll be laughed at. And people will think you're a fool and will even be mean to you and try to hurt you. This is because we are in Christ by faith. We are united to Him. And how did they treat Him? We read this morning something of how they treated Him in John chapter 18. He was treated horribly. And He told us that in the world, we also will have tribulation. All the apostles give us the same message. That this life, this world, is a place of suffering and trial. Don't be surprised when you suffer. This is a fallen world. And until we reach the new heavens and the new earth, there will always be some measure of suffering for God's people. Now, in the midst of a fallen world, only the Christian can truly rejoice. Look at verse 23. Speaking of the creation, not only they, but ourselves, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, that is, the redemption of our body. Because we have the first fruits of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit indwells us. This is an evidence that strengthens our assurance that we are indeed in Christ. The Holy Spirit within us produces these groanings. Why would we groan and long for that better world and the redemption of our bodies? It's because the Spirit of God dwells within. The yearnings within for the perfection of creation, the prayers and the yearnings that spring from within. Verse 26 tells us that they are produced by the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 26. "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." Groanings within for this better world, for this perfection that the Lord has promised. Only those who were born of God have such groanings and such longings. Now, although this world will not be perfect until Christ comes, we have the responsibility and we have the duty to make it as godly as we are enabled to make it. Don't forget that. John tells us in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. There is not only a personal purifying that goes on. When our personal purity is lived out in this ungodly world, it has a powerful effect on others. Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. In the verse right before that, he said, ye are the salt of the earth. Matthew 5 and verse 13. And what does he mean, ye are the salt of the earth? Salt is a preservative. We got to be very salty salt in a very corrupt world. It has a preserving effect, holding back the corruption. So there's a very real work for God's people to be engaged in the ministry of restraint, holding back the corruption that's in the world through lust. You are the salt of the earth. Salt is not only a preservative, salt is a seasoning. We are to season the world with grace and truth, spreading the message of God's truth and His grace to the world that is so needy around us. But you know, salt is also an irritant. Salt is not very pleasant when it reaches the tender membranes in our bodies. Salt is an irritant. In an open wound, salt does not feel good. So Christ has made His people the salt of the earth. Christians are a painful source of conviction to the ungodly world. Real Christianity is not a comforter. Real Christianity is not a sedative to the wickedness and to the wicked people of this world. What does the salt of the earth do in the wicked world? It reminds them of their corruption and of God's condemnation upon them. Because if you go to the chapter that so many people know in the Bible, John chapter 3 and verse 16, if you drop down two verses under that, the scripture says, he that believeth not is condemned already. And the salt of the earth is an irritant that reminds people of this. As those who were saved, sealed, and secured by Christ, we are His soldiers to fight against sin in ourselves and to fight against sin in the world all around us. Ephesians chapter 6 describes the Christian soldier. I know Ernie has been preaching on the Christian armor. Ephesians 6, 11 and 12, we are commanded to put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle, who are we wrestling against? Not flesh and blood, but we are actually wrestling against the darkness, the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. The apostle is giving us a wonderful glimpse of what is to come, even as he's showing us what is the reality that we face in a fallen world now. So let us not occupy ourselves with the extravagant schemes of prophecy as so many in the world are taken up with. And they think, oh yeah, we're going to be out of here at any moment. This is a troubled world and we're going to leave it. They're going to be surprised in how long they're going to be here. But let us rather steadily follow the Lord. Let us live faithful, holy lives in the midst of a perverse nation. I wonder today, are you groaning? Are you yearning because of the corruption and the curse of sin on this world and even upon our mortal bodies? If you are, it's another good evidence that you are right with God. But if you're content with sin and the corrupt world, if you're at home with it, then you're not truly a Christian. And sadly, this world is all that you have, with nothing afterward to look forward to. Nothing good to look forward to, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment that will devour those without Christ. It's a very serious time in which we live. And may God give us grace that we would be of those that the apostle describes here as groaning within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, the glory that's going to be revealed in us, even the redemption of our bodies. Praise God. There is a better world coming for God's believing people. Let us pray. O gracious God, we thank Thee for Thy Word. We thank Thee for this very obvious description of the world as it is, under the curse and the corruption of sin. We thank Thee, O God, for opening the eyes of our understanding to see ourselves as Thy Word describes us. We praise Thee, O Holy Spirit, that Thou art the true Vicar of Christ, the Revealer of the only Redeemer. And Lord, we praise Thee for our Savior. We thank Thee that what He has accomplished in His bloodshedding and cross work is that which was done in our behalf. And Lord, we praise Thee that not only are our souls saved, but we praise Thee that we are going to be made like our Savior and have the privilege of walking on a renovated planet that has absolute perfection. No disease and no sin, no curse. We praise Thee for the words of Jesus that He will lead us to fountains of water. And Lord, we look forward to what Thou wilt do even on this planet. We pray that Thou wilt hasten the day for Jesus' sake. Amen.